All right, folks, so students for MN220 Risk Management, we are going to be doing Lecture 9, and Lecture 9 is all around project risk management. Now, just to give you a bit of an overview and some of the learning outcomes, this project risk management lecture, we're just focusing on projects. And what makes projects different? Why are there project risks? What are the frameworks that people actually use and contexts that they use to describe project risks? And also the complexity within projects and the interdependencies. Now, if you've done project management before, you'll be able to understand some of this terminology regarding interdependencies and complexities within projects. Now, project organization, risk identification, okay, the communication with stakeholders, that's super important with projects, as like any other risk management situation. Identification of project risk decisions, project management systems, and then we will talk again right through your assignments. Now, let's talk about engineering projects that have gone wrong. If you watch this YouTube video, which is on slide 3, that will explain a lot of engineering projects that have gone wrong over time. Now, there's a lot of complexity. Moving on to page or slide 4, where Charles de Gaulle Airport collapsed. And you can see from this particular picture, it was a massive collapse. Then there were 4 died and 3 injured. Now, there was a lot of preparation that went into this project, and it is a quite an interesting and fascinating structure. But if you could see that some parts of the structure were weak, so hence, you know, this particular project, as a project manager, they did not see the issues that cropped up with this weak point of the project. Now, this is a big collapse. Now, we move on to the next slide, slide 5. You can see the structure in itself collapsed internally. It was not an external collapse, okay? And that caused the fatalities. And they had to rethink the way that they could manage projects. Now, if you go on to this next slide, which is slide 6, you can see the complexity of some projects. And these are big scale projects, okay? Even bigger compared to Charles de Gaulle. And the complexity in terms of the execution is pretty big. Now, another big project is in slide 7, Dubai. The Dubai tallest sort of building, the Khaj Khalifa. That was a complex project. Now, slide 8 will talk through all the varieties of different types of collapses in terms of bridge collapses since 2000. Fair few there, the 16 of them. Take some time to have a look at that. Now, what makes project risk management different is the idea around projects. Now, projects have a start point and a finish point. Okay? They take a lot of different perspectives. You know, it could be any variety of different types of projects, but theoretically, they've got a start point and a finite time frame. Now, we move on to slide 10. What makes projects different is that you can see these key points here. Besides the finite time, there's different types of dynamic risks that actually happen because projects are always constantly evolving. The context actually happens quite differently from an organization. Now, what you can see over here, that projects tend not only to have a risk within the actual project life cycle, which is at start time and the finish time where the project is complete, but also the delivery of the product or the system or whatever they're trying to actually achieve. Now, project risk for slide 11 says that there are distinctive features, you know, in terms of acquisition, application of resources, all the operational requirements when you are running a project. Some examples of projects here, mining tend to have longer term risks, okay, often 30 years and beyond, or medium term risks in terms of constructions of a bridge, infrastructure, usually several months, or short term could be, you know, in terms of simple office relocations where it could happen in days or weeks. Typically, most projects have a project charter, and a charter, all it means is that they decide the reasons for the projects, the scope and the objectives, who's responsible. It's a formal written document, okay, between stakeholders and sponsor of the project. Also here, stakeholders will be emergent in terms of those who might come later on into the project, and hence therefore the impact of miscommunication, role confusion, conflicts, etc. tend to happen within the project itself. What's included in a project charter? This is slide 14. You've got the authorization, key stakeholders, the project manager, key project goals, project priorities, and product requirements. Okay, if you go on to slide 15, many things are included with projects because you have to make certain assumptions regarding the project's variables, specific resources, information, funding, etc. There are project constraints and limits. They are also now into the realm of project risks. What are the risks that are involved in terms of actually that project in itself? Right, so that's super important. Cost estimates, scheduled estimates, change control, project criteria. Project risk framework, there tend to be natural systems and human systems within a project risk sort of environment. Natural systems would be the climate, geological, biological, extraterrestrial sort of systems and risks from those, and then human systems would be social, economic, political. Most of your PESTEL analysis you'll be able to apply here. Cultural, technical, health, managerial. Now, four risk components that are super important, which is on slide 17. That's an adverse event with the actual project. Event in its nature, consequence of the event, and period of exposure. Now, project contexts, there are tasks, technology, and resources, three essential sort of elements. What are the tasks that are required? What are the technologies that are involved? And what are the resources that are actually sort of required and needed to be done in a project sort of environment? Now, if you look at slide 19, essentially decision making. So you have three circles here: the procurement environment, the operational environment, and the disposal environment. So what I mean by that is when you procure products, when you actually manufacture or create through the project, which is the operational part, and then any additional material that you need to remove or dispose or dismantle whatever you put in place once the project is done. So these basically set the context of issues. Now, slide 20, you can see that in your own time, a bit of a funny there. And then you go on to slide 21. There's complexity and interdependencies that occur within a project sort of environment. Here, projects differ in terms of their requirements of tasks, technologies, and resources. Projects also differ in terms of how these tasks, technologies, and resources are differentiated. And that word interdependency or dependency, the links that that happen within a sort of project environment, how can they be dependent or interdependent on each other? This is super important for people to know because one impact of a risk that happens in one particular variable can impact another variable, and that's the meaning of dependency. There are impacts within that particular environment. Super important for people to remember that. Okay. Project differentiation. Now, what actually happens is that there are many components exist within a project. Many tasks are involved in the execution of the project. How many different project technologies are deployed in the execution of the project? See, these are questions that are important. What are the resources? What are the tasks? What are the different technologies? What are the components that are that are involved in a project environment. See, and spatial differentiation here, what I mean by that is that space is an important thing to consider. Temporal differentiation, projects are separated over time. It could be you start one part of the project, you don't have enough resources, you wait for another time. So there could be a time lag and there could be different risks. And there's complexity, okay? So space in terms of the elements and how they need to be prepared, okay, and brought together to create the project. Time, where there's different things that happens at different times that could cause interdependent risks. And also differentiation in terms of the complexity of the components within the project environment. Now, that's super important for people to get their head around that. Within the project, dependency or interdependency sort of thinking, I want to introduce you to a new concept called systems thinking. So systems thinking is thinking holistically, thinking of the whole. There are interdependent relationships in all parts of the project. One task might impact another. And when you do so-called a systems map, it is important to understand the interdependencies of these elements. Okay, there's pool interdependency, there's sequential interdependency, and there's reciprocal interdependency. So let me explain each and every one of that. You might have a group of variables within a particular system, and within that system, if they're pooled together, you cause some sort of risk. Or if you do one thing, one task versus another task, one after the other, there's a sequential interdependency that actually occurs. Now, or reciprocal, okay? You might do one task and you stop that and something else actually happens. And that once you've done that one task, it might impact another task. So if you have a systems thinking approach, okay, this is slide 23 that I'm talking through. If you have a systems thinking sort of approach, you'll be able to see this pool sequential and reciprocal interdependency in terms of how that interrelationship might then bring up risks. Okay, super important for you to start thinking about it in that particular way. So slide 24 explains pool interdependency. Basically, when you have, there's no specific order, but one interrelates with another. Now, this word critical path, what it means over here in terms of critical path is that when you particularly have to do one task that leads on to another path, and that particular critical path, where you have to do that critical first task, now that is your critical path. Then you might do other simpler tasks, and you might come up to another second critical path or a second important task later on, right? So allocation and scheduling of resources are super important here. Now, sequential interdependency, slide 25 here, is that where one element and sub-elements need to be completed before one can commence. There's also a critical path sort of situation here, but there's a time frame in terms of how the project is set by the critical path, e.g. laying, as I say, the foundations of building prior to the commencement of construction. If at all you don't do that well, that's going to be a risk for the rest of the construction. Yeah. Okay. So then moving on to reciprocal interdependency, where there's a change in one element that might influence a change in something else. For example, if you run out of money and you need to actually use poor quality material, building material, that might cause a problem in terms of the integrity of the actual structure, okay? Or another important example here is fixing of a particular fault or a bug, okay? So you have to do one routine first before the other one can be done. Now, moving on to slide 27, project risk, there's uncertainty. If you're applying new techniques and new technology, there's uncertainty over there, okay? And there's various levels of uncertainty in terms of risk. Hence, risks change in terms of the duration of a particular project. Have a look at slide 28 and check out the project risk assessment YouTube video. that'll give you a bit more of an indication about what are the different types of risks that might be involved. Now, in terms of elements of project risks, very large projects tend to have lots of risks, rails, roads, bridges, etc. High complexity sort of projects, if you're looking at NASA, large capital outlays tend to actually sort of be there. That's a financial risk. Unbalanced cash flows tend to actually sort of be there. New application of new technologies and new processes, that tends to also affect. And so carrying on, there are unbalanced cash flows, establishing in mind, application of new technology, new processes, carbon fiber in aircraft construction, new technologies. All of this can add to the complexity of projects. Now, tight time constraints. This is an important thing. If you have a time constraint, people are doing work too fast, you might have an issue with risks. Inexperienced people, okay, change in regulatory environment, such as the uranium mining in Australia, you know, that's adding more risk to the environment. Environmental impacts, pollution, okay, unstable political environment, operating in foreign jurisdictions. So these are all complexities that tend to happen within the realm of a project. You can see that now it's going beyond the organization, and hence, therefore, project risk in itself is a particular area of study and particular area that you need to consider within the whole bigger scheme of risk management. Project organizations are like systems, internal and external interfaces, like, just like any other organizational risk. You have internal and external interfacing within a project. Decision-making in terms of identifying issues, evaluating options, and actually looking at decisions. That's a super important critical part of projects. Project communication, internal. Project subgroups and project management, super important, right? Project subgroups, the project manager itself now is responsible for the subgroup, okay? External. Stakeholder interfaces, client, financiers, insurers, and regulators. That's super important within a project sort of environment. Okay, now slide 33 will show you the different types of stakeholders involved. Okay, and this is it is particularly referenced from a book called Edwards, Bowden, and Risk Management. And you can see the variety of different people and a variety of different connections in terms of value management, OHS, HR. All these people are super important within the project subsystem, okay? Important for you to know. Multi-stakeholder projects. You can see they're, again, within the subsystem now exploded into different, where you got project A, B, and C, and you got systems S2, S3, S4 interacting with the overall S1 system. Now, so systems thinking is an important thing. 35, Project Risk Management System, RMS. As you can see here, the interrelationships within the project area. Now, this actually mimics quite closely to Section 6 of the ISO standard. Important for you to actually sort of know that the process that you have in Section 6 of the ISO 31000 standard, this is shown figuratively within an iterative process of project management. Project risk management context, their strategic objectives, clients trying to achieve through the projects. So these are key questions. What are the strategic objectives, just like an organization? What are clients trying to actually achieve? What are the functional objectives of the project? What can the project actually deliver? What are the procurement objectives of the actual sort of projects in itself? So it's a whole heap of different questions that people need to actually ask. Now, when you go on to slide 37, some of the risk identification systems here, we've done so far brainstorming and checklists, but if you look at a whole host, there's HAZOBS, failure modes analysis, FMECA, failure tree analysis, event tree analysis, scenario development, work breakdown structures, job JSAs, heaps and heaps of stuff that are going on to identify risks. Now, from a system sort of perspective, one best way to actually sort of to map it out is using a fault tree analysis, meaning to say, what's the top event? So failure of automatic loading doors to close properly, that's in slide 38. And you can say that failure is broken down into power failures, signal failures, mechanical failures. And then there's a further breakdown there in terms of power failure to missing signals, fuel, mechanical, control, all of those things. And you can see the interrelationships. All this particular fault tree analysis is doing, it's breaking down the top event into its potential root causes, which are its bottom level events. Now, this is important to get to a point where you are looking at things really, really closely. And event tree analysis is in page slide 40, adds a probability of the and a consequence of these events actually occurring. So fire, when in terms of fire, you have success of managing the fire, then you're okay. It's partial damage, and you're looking at the probability of that sort of occurring. And in terms of failure, likewise, failure and success as components in terms of handling a failure, the sprinkler system issues, and breaking down even further. So you're looking at the consequence and adding numbers to those and making it a lot more quantifiable. Okay. Risk analysis in its simple self for projects, you break it down by likelihood and consequences, slide 41. The duration is an additional thing here. Remember, we talked about spatial and temporal. Duration is an important thing here for projects, which is slightly different from other risk management, where you have short-term, medium-term, long-term, long-to-medium-term, long-to-short-term, and you're putting different categories on the actual project in itself. Risk analysis for projects, you got impact, probability of occurrence, and the duration in terms of project risk management. Very similar to the COSO cube. I'm not going to confuse the matter here, but what this on page and slide 43, very similar to that. You've got impact, duration, and probability in a cube form. Now, the COSO cube is this enterprise risk management. Considers all these aspects from a bigger sort of perspective. Okay, probability, impact, and duration. But risk analysis from a project perspective, you're looking at impact, probability of occurrence, and duration, and essentially putting it down in a cube format, right? That's slide 43. Slide 44 is decisions, avoidance. Okay, so here, decision-making in terms of risk. Avoid, what can you do? What can you do to avoid the system? Transfer, what can you do to transfer or mitigate, to transfer the risk? Mitigate, how can you do, what can you do to actually sort of move forward in terms of reducing the likelihood and consequence or sharing the risk? Let's say if you're a supplier and a manufacturer wants to purchase a product from you, the manufacturer can share the risk by enabling you to hold the product on your site. So if anything does happen, then you are, as a supplier, take on the risk. Okay, or retain the risk if it's a small risk. So you can avoid the risk, transfer the risk, mitigate to insurance, reduce the likelihood or consequence, share it, or retain it. Just think about those risk decision making. And that would apply right through all sort of risk areas, not only project risk, right? So getting on to slide 45, RMS, which is a risk management system, it depends on the maturity, the clarification of the objectives and tasks, the development of a project management framework. You have also the responsibility, the development of risk registers, maintaining communication and reviewing, very similar to section 6 of the ISO 9000 sort of system. Now, risk management maturity, you've got on level 1 on ignoring, level 2 trying, level 3 growing, and level 4 maturing. Okay, you have to be online to make sure that, when I say online with the risk standards, to ensure that you go up the level within your organization, or you go up the level of maturity within your project management skills. Okay, you might be ignoring it in level one. You might be trying to make some improvements or changes. Then you're growing in terms of mitigation and having all those risk decision factors. And then once you're mature, you have a system in place. Super important. That's explained in slide 47, risk management maturity model. As simple as being immature all the way up to being mature. And you can see the various categories. You've got different things that organizations or project managers are actually sort of doing to enable themselves to become more mature within the actual sort of process. Slide 48, in summary, we talked about project risks, some of the complexities and interdependencies of projects, how the project might be within an organization, and there might be some organizational risks if they are the project managers. But you still go through the same process. I cannot emphasize this ever so more importantly. You identify, you communicate, you analyze, you make certain decisions, you implement, and finally you put some sort of a review and monitor process, which is the part of that system, in place, okay, based on slide 48 to, and very similar to section 6 of the ISO standard, as a way to complete your project management risk sort of process. And finality, the slide here, if you want to kind of think about Charles de Gaulle, okay, look at the problem and the solutions on these two YouTube videos. Yeah, if you're in groups, we could have done it in groups. In terms of the case study, determine the event of what happened, what are the root causes, what are the controls you can have in place, who are the stakeholders that should have been informed or better managed, what are the risks that could have been reduced. As you can see here, Charles de Gaulle, the actual one particular roof area that got weak, that was the cause of it all, that caused the implosion to happen. And hence the consequence that you have on slide 51. Slide 52 is a different event. Slide 53 as well, just talking about potential disaster recovery. I'm just bringing the previous lecture 8 into play here. For a bridge of this sort, in slide 53, disaster recovery is will be super important. Okay, so you can see the linkage between disaster recovery and project management. So, folks, all the best for this particular lecture. Just ensuring that you are in communication with me for anything else, amurthy@chardon.edu.au. This is AJ Murthy signing off for this particular lecture, and we will talk through the next lecture the following week. All the best.